It's the prepaid cell phone of podcasts. It's the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Corey and Joel are back. Hi.
Shalom.
Hi, people. It's show 207. Welcome in.
Hey, now. Howdy. Enthusiasm.
I know. I'm listening.
Fired up.
Oh, here we
woo,
go.
Let's get it on, dude. Y'all ready to do a podcast up with this somebody? We gonna make some magical happenings.
I hope so. We've got a lot of stuff for you today. We'll our Super Bowl bets are in. We'll tell you who won and lost.
By the way, today's episode of the Corey and Joel Radio Show is brought to you in 3D.
Well, we'll have to talk about that, too. The 3D gimmick that they did the Super Bowl and the 3D episode of Chuck that was on this week. We watched that.
Oh, boy.
We'll give that a review since we're all into TV and movies and stuff. And a lot of funny stuff going on today. So the big post-Super Bowl office. We'll get
you know
into that.
Funny? I'm thinking how this riff would be in Guitar Hero.
Corey now is playing. Corey now has Guitar Hero. So he can't complain that he's no good when I ask him to play anymore.
I'm good at easy.
Well, that's no...
Medium is hard.
Your mother can play easy.
Well, I don't know.
All right.
They get harder as they go.
Well, you got Guitar Hero 3, which is the hardest, most difficult, evil Guitar Hero they've ever made. But anyway. So Steve Malcolmus and the Jicks.
There it
from
is.
From Pig Lib, which came out, I think, in 2002 or something. So, long time ago.
No.
It yeah, it's come out 2003, that. Something like that. It's been a long time, so... But I decided that was good music for the show today.
All right, then.
We've never played it, and I'm running out of stuff I've never played. Because there's a new Anthony and the Johnsons album that I have not been able to get yet. So we'll be playing.
I would like to be a girl. I love the taste of balls.
I think that's the new single.
Is it?
I love the taste of balls.
That's a big one. Yeah.
I want to cut off my cock and grow a vagina. That's the follow-up single.
That's going to be a huge
exactly.
Hit.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, welcome into the show.
God, I don't think I have that song anymore.
One day I'll grow up to be a beautiful woman. Then there was another one. What was the other one? Because we had two that we love from Anthony and the Johnsons.
I don't know.
It was...
There's no way for me to search.
I can. Let me look for Anthony and the Johnsons.
There's no way for me to search the sound files, and that was so long ago.
You vamp for that, and I will...
Oh, God. If you're not familiar with the work of Anthony and the Johnsons, Anthony. I like to call it Anthony.
Well, there's no T. It's Anthony. Yeah, you're correct.
I know, but it makes you sound like, you know, hey, Claudio, Anthony.
Anthony.
Anthony, come over here.
Anthony.
Yeah. Extremely gay music from Anthony and the Johnsons. Also on the show today, we are going to break down the Super Bowl in immaculate detail.
Okay, I have the other one. Do you want me to do my version of it, or should I play it? Or should I give it to you to play?
Give it to me to play, and then
the
we'll
the other
compare.
One was... Well, the other one's not... Well, first of all, there's there's duets with Boy George and Rufus Wainwright and Lou Reed and Devendra Banhart, which I don't know why we never got any
well,
of those.
Well, that's pretty gay.
But, well, the song that we've been singing is For Day, Today I Am a Boy.
And I'll give you...
Which I used to play all the time. But God knows how many shows I got to go back to find that.
Okay, honestly, when I'm looking at this other single, the other single I think is kind of good.
Yeah.
Sadly, I have to say that I am almost a fan of this. But anyway, I'm going to drop this in your folder over there.
I got my file folder goes back to show 101. I guess I had another computer.
You got a new computer
this,
at that point, yeah. So let me let me paste these things in there and you can there you go. All right, go ahead and cue those up. Because the other one is just kind of sad. The other one's not super faggoty, I don't think. the one that we sing is...
Oh, it's not super faggoty.
It's faggoty, but it's not...
It's not double plus faggoty.
But you could see... I could almost see that other song sung by... Go ahead, play
come
it.
Come on in, we're going to paint the
that's not Anthony.
Town. And all that jazz, I'm going to rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz.
Go ahead, play Anthony and the Johnsons.
Okay.
One day I'll grow up.
There you go. That's the one we play all.
I'll be a beautiful woman.
One day I'll grow up.
I'll
be a beautiful girl.
People said the show's too gay lately.
I know. It's
and I wonder why.
Be a beautiful woman. One day I'll grow up. Be a beautiful girl.
Remember we played this? You know what? Pause that for a second. I remember the greatest thing we ever did with that song. We did a live show. I forget which one it was.
Yes.
And we brought up comedian Pete Weiss with that song. Do you remember that? That was a ball bust of like...
Pete was very
and he looked at us like, what the... And he was all prepared to do his comedy, and he gets up on stage, and he's a fucking fag song.
You know, here's the thing with Pete. I love Pete, very talented guy. Yeah. He moved. He's
in LA now with the other Moes.
Stop with that.
No, but then Pete said he wasn't gay after a while.
I would love to be in LA right now.
Pete came out and was like, I'm a gay guy. And then after like a year into comedy, he was just like, yeah, I'm not gay anymore.
I
never understood that.
If that's a shtick, if that's an angle, if you're like, I was gay as a goof.
But he didn't used to show up.
That can't work.
He used to
like
show
that.
Up with the guy at the comedy shows, like his boyfriend.
Yeah, every now and then.
Yeah, so it was like, what the hell?
How can you be gay for a year?
I don't know.
All right.
But I gave that up. I guess he figured the gay angle wasn't working. He became straight or something. I don't know. Confused.
I don't know.
Confusion. Hey, play that other Anthony song.
Oh, yeah.
Because this song is almost just kind of sad. It's not really gay.
Hope there's someone who will take care of me.
No, it's pretty gay.
Well, his delivery is gay, but I don't know. Lyrically, I don't think it's gay. He's not trying to be a girl, boy.
Hope there's someone who set my heart free.
I wish somebody would do this on American Idol.
Yeah, it'd be great. Some of those guys, Clay Aiken could do this.
Can you see somebody come out and doing their audition?
I mean, I guess you could look at this and say, well, maybe he's got AIDS or something. He's got the HIV and he's dying and he's singing. You know. But it's just kind of a guy who's dying. That's kind of just sad. It's not gay.
Anyway, it's haunting. It's haunting in its beauty.
You're looking at me to wrap it up. You got control over there.
I know. I'm just
like, Joel, can you please turn this up? Like,
I really.
You got the button.
I forgot I had the button.
All right. Anthony. When I get to new Anthony and the Johnsons, we'll play that for you, too. Keep you up to date.
He freaks me out a little bit, but I like it. It's
Well, speaking of weirdo musicians, this happened over the weekend.
He's like Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
But even gayer.
Well, there was there was a big UFC over the weekend. I don't know. You probably didn't see it. I'll give it to you if you want.
I haven't seen it, no.
It's BJ Penn versus George St. Pierre, two UFC champions, the lightweight champion versus the welterweight champion. Both guys have won like three straight fights, dominant performances, and I'm going to ruin it for you, but BJ Penn got beat. Mm-hmm. And but there was a reason that BJ Penn, well, first of all, there is a legitimate controversy on the front page of Yahoo that George St. Pierre, they applied Vaseline to his back during the fight, which caused him to be too slippery.
That's funny because... Anthony, they did that for Anthony.
They were putting some Vaseline somewhere else, I think, not on his back. But
before every show, they apply Vaseline to his back and lower thigh.
Which is not illegal if you're Anthony, but for George St. Pierre. But they're saying that the real reason that BJ Penn lost, and you can find the clip.
Is he Hawaiian? Is that what you're going to say? Is that what you're going to say?
Let me explain this.
What?
There's a clip of this. You can find it online.
Brother eats a pineapple. You
please,
bust
I'm
going to
turn your mic off if you don't let me finish my thought. You can bust balls when I'm done telling this because it's funnier than anything you're coming up with. He's walking down the aisle and reaching over the barrier. Mickey Avalon grabs and kisses BJ Penn directly on the cheek, and people are saying that this faggot kissed BJ Penn 2 minutes before fight time.
Threw him out of his game.
And Mickey, you don't have any Mickey Avalon in there either, do you? People know Mickey.
I do, but I
we played Mickey on the show a million times. So there are UFC fans they're BJ Penn fans that are very upset that Mickey Avalon went for a kiss.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have Mickey on there or do you want me to give it to
you?
Oh,
I don't anymore. It's a shame.
So
what's funny is I left all the booty rap
in
here.
Mickey Avalon's good. If we get a chick over here, we'll play some which one is this?
This is B-Girls.
Oh, B-Girls, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I we used to play Mickey Avalon all the time. Where's My Dick? That's a classic.
Well, I'll give you a few of them here.
Oh, no, wait. You know what? I have it. Never mind. I have it.
I just put three songs in your folder, too, if you want some Mickey Avalon.
I just found it. I forgot.
Did you? Okay. But, yeah, so Mickey Avalon kisses BJ Penn on the cheek. And apparently his deal is that somebody wrote this, and I think I've heard this before, but he is somehow associated with RVCA, which is a clothing manufacturer. Somehow they sponsor Mickey and they sponsor BJ Penn somehow. Or Mickey does something for him promotionally, and so Mickey got a real good seat. Yeah, here you go. I gave you my dick as well, if you want that. We took Niels to the Mickey Avalon concert.
We did. That was one of the wildest nights.
And Niels, remember Niels? He jumped on stage, grabbed the mic, and was like, yeah, I will do Jane Fonda. Eins, zwei, drei, vier. She sang on Soul Train with the put your booty Jen on the dance floor. Was bigger than a Mercedes Benz. Jen was a hurdy-gurdy, dirty little girly. I've never heard the second Mickey Avalon album. I don't think it's come out, did it?
I don't. He disappeared.
Baby, he's supposed to be doing another one. Best friend, and maybe if this is lucky, a good, actually a good album. Sucky, sucky, Mickey, Mickey. Fuck me, fuck me. More junk in the trunk than a Honda.
I know you wanna do the Jane Fonda. One, two, three, four. All right, we're just gonna play some tracks
did
today.
You know that?
All right.
Niels was great at that.
Niels was, yeah. Yep. One, ein, zwei, drei. Shake it, little mama. I know you can do the Jane Fonda.
Mein Schwanz.
And then he broke into his big hit.
Play my dick. I can do the German. I can translate that. Meinem Schwanz.
You didn't give me.
It's in show 207.
No.
It's in show 207.
You didn't give
oh,
me.
I gave you the wrong one. I apologize.
It's all
right. No, you're right.
But you know what? Because I found my Mickey Avalon folder right
did
here.
You got my dick anyway.
I think I do.
All right. I just dumped it into 207, so I'm sorry. There it is.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Oh, all right. Niels.
That was crazy because he was like, girls were just running up on the stage.
It was. There were hot chicks running around in bikinis. And
just like
yeah,
getting covered
great
in beverages and
tremendous
soap
stuff
and stuff.
On.
I don't know what was going on, but they were, you couldn't even see Mickey Avalon because people were.
There you go. Yeah, this is Niels. I'm here to record my first rap single. It's called Mein Schwanz.
Oh,
Mein Schwanz, but the HIV.
I lost the whole thing.
How did you lose the whole thing?
I don't know the folder.
I'm trying to copy something, and your computer's having issues. Is that the problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was copying it to your folder, and then it said, like, I can no longer copy. Yeah, that is because what happened is I went into your network, and I hacked it. So as you were trying to attempt to transfer,
yeah,
I was logging in.
My dick cost a late night fee. Yo, dick got the HIV. My dick plays on the double feature screen. Yo, dick.
Take it, Niels.
Mine's going stuck on
a bridge. Yo, dick. Look like a little kid's. My dick. Large like the Chargers. The whole team.
My
yo,
dick.
Shit, look like you 14.
Bigger
my
than
dick
the Berlin Wall.
Locked in a cage, right? Yo,
my dick. Bigger than the Tom.
My dick. So hot it's stolen. Yo,
your
dick.
Small and stuffy face.
Pink and big.
Your dick
stinks like shit. My dick got a seizure, dude.
Anyway. Your dick like Liechtenstein. My dick look like the Rhine. It's right. It's the Niels version. You haven't heard this? Hot big hit. I'm telling
my
you.
My dick strike like a blitzkrieg. Your dick smell like a ditch pig.
Yeah, yeah.
There,
see,
you go.
There you go.
We can wrap it up.
Big Niels big hit thing.
Oh, man.
That was that one. If we ever get him in the studio again, we'll cut it. We'll make Neil sing.
Yeah, we will.
We'll make Neil sing a song. So anyway.
Oh, man.
Mickey Avalon kissed BJ Penn on the cheek. You can see the clip on. I was on some MMA site. Fight Linker, Bloody Elbow. I don't know. He kissed him, and he didn't really give a shit. You get the feeling maybe he'd probably met BJ Penn before the fight or something.
How can two guys that they're livelihood is getting, you know, near naked and rolling around with a man on a mat be upset about that?
No, I don't know that he was upset, but the fans are going, well, how do you expect him to win when Mickey Avalon's kissing him right before the fight?
Yeah,
well, and I go, yeah, that would be a little distracting. He actually lost because he fought at a higher weight class than he normally does.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, George St. Pierre is like naturally 185 pounds walking around.
Speaking of a higher weight class, coming up later on, we'll discuss a Deathpool pick who is looking even more choice.
Really? I did not know that.
As the
you want to talk about
that?
Yeah,
there's an article. We'll get to him later on.
All right. Well, you want to get into Super Bowl? We can do our bets right now.
That's right, because this portion of the show, by the way, if you're at home, please pick up your 3D glasses, your Intel 3D glasses that were available.
Yeah, that was
where were they available?
Well, they were available the day after the Super Bowl at CVS, which is where I got them.
Because this section of the Corey and Joel Radio Show,
yes,
it's in 3D.
Well, it's funny because a couple things. They were promoting it on NBC a couple weeks ago, like on the football games. So I was like, I got to look for those glasses, and I went out the whole week before the Super Bowl and could not find the 3D glasses anywhere.
Really?
Then I go online to figure out, like, hey, where do you get? And I even told you at one point, I go, I can't get these glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went online, too, and you're like, yeah, you can't get these glasses. Everyone's complaining about it.
I looked for them, and I couldn't find them.
It turns out, I guess, that they withheld them until the day of the Super Bowl in a lot of places because they were afraid because people were putting them on eBay and stuff.
Right.
Because like they were like making them out to be a commodity, even though there was 130 million of them. And I'm telling you, I swiped like they were came in a sheet of four, and I swiped like two sheets from. I mean, again, this is the day after the Super Bowl. There were easily 200 pairs of 3D glasses at this one CVS I was in. So it's not like they were really all that rare. But I think the stores, for whatever reason, were told not to put them out. And then you know, unless you wanted to go to a store on Super Bowl Sunday, which I didn't do, I didn't have them on Super Bowl.
Whenever they do these gimmicks, and they do these gimmicks fairly frequently with 3D, you know, the glasses, I don't know, people can either go get them or not, but during the Super freaking Bowl, you know, that's kind of a, like, you're going to watch a Super Bowl,
right.
And then they showed a whole block of commercials that were in 3D.
It was two, and then there was a promo for Chuck.
All right, but it was about...
It was 3 minutes of
about
content.
3 minutes of show that was in blurry and looked like crap for you.
A little blurry. I think that's the idea with this new 3D that they have, and this is... I'm only plugging it because I can diss it in a second. Intel's in-true 3D technology.
Uh-huh.
Which, and I guess the idea is it won't look so shitty if you don't have the glasses.
Yeah, it's radically different than the 3D they've had for years, in which...
Well, you don't have the red and the blue, Corey. They got rid of the red and the blue lenses, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've replaced it with a yellow and a blue lens.
Yeah, it's like a...
Or an orange and a blue.
Orangey blue.
And anyway, so the 3D, we didn't get to see the 3D commercials. I watched them on YouTube, but they were really blurry and awful with the glasses on even.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it didn't really work for me. But then we did get to watch the Chuck in 3D.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that now before we get into Super Bowl? Chuck in 3D.
Yeah.
A revolution. Here's what I am. Here, can you, I don't know if they can see this at home, but here's a thumbs down. It's flying right at you. It might hit you in the head.
You seeing this finger?
At the middle finger. Yeah. Chuck in 3D was might have been worse than Chuck in 2D because the 3D was so annoying, I thought.
Well, it didn't work that well.
It worked okay, but a lot of it looked blue, and like the one eye is completely blue, and you're trying to ogle that Yvonne Strahovski chick with their big titties, and it was all distracting because the color seemed like it was changing every second. And not to mention that Chuck just ain't that good.
Right.
I mean, Chuck's just not that funny. I mean, they were trying to... I mean, it's from the mind of McGee, who's a genius. I don't know why it would suck. But... And he's doing that Terminator movie, too, which is a little frightening because his track record is not great.
No, and apparently there was a big blow-up on the set of that. Which there's a big, long clip from Christian Bale that we will have for you.
Yeah, we'll have to cut that up. It's like 4 minutes long, and you can listen to that.
Not now, but we'll
TMZ
get it later.
TMZ has that this week if you haven't checked that out. But what else has McGee done that's good?
Charlie's Angels.
Okay, but those sucked. Let's just go on record here. Okay. He did that show Fastlane.
No.
Which was bad with Bill Bellamy.
You're telling me that a Bill Bellamy show that got replayed on G4 wasn't a good
thing? It had Tiffany Thiessen in it, and so I tuned in once in a while.
Really?
Because that's some good ass there, that Tiffany Thiessen.
That's true.
But what else has he done movie-wise?
McGee has not done much. That's a guy who's got a rep for like three movies. He's like...
But he's always like... Hey, the new X-Men's going to be directed by McGee.
It's always
something's coming out. You don't. It's on the Lord of the Rings. It's McGee. McGee's taking that over.
Yeah,
McGee's making the new Star Wars, and then he never makes anything. Did he make
from Kalamazoo, Michigan?
Look at what he's made.
As a director, he's made exactly six shows.
Okay,
what has he done?
Give me his credits, bro.
Charlie's Angels. Well, he did a couple things you've never heard of.
Okay, two Charlie's Angels movies.
Charlie's Angels, Cypress Hill Still Smoking video.
Yeah, he did a lot of music videos. I remember that.
Fast Lane.
Okay, which I just told you was no good.
Dan Finnerty and the Dan Band, I Am Woman. It's like all videos.
So he's made two feature films?
Okay, oh no, We Are Marshall.
Oh, okay. Now, people like that movie,
which was not, a typical McG project.
Okay, but that was a little bit of a by-the-numbers biopic or whatever, or historical. But people like that movie, so I'll give him some credit on that. I didn't see it, but I know.
No, you're right. He's always attached to stuff.
Yeah, it's always like McG's making the new
Batman. He was attached to Superman for a long time, and that went tits up.
Okay. I would have. Now, seeing what happened to Superman Returns. It might have been better with McG.
That's what's great. I'm reading this book about Superman, and I haven't gotten to the real meaty stuff yet.
Yeah.
But it took them from, 1987 till, 2006 when Superman Returns came out?
05, 06. Probably 05.
Yeah. It took them almost 20 years to get Superman movies made, and they were just, and that's what they came up with.
Well, they got this Bryan Singer guy, who everyone loved when he did X-Men.
Yeah.
And then he made a movie that was just such a rip-off, bullshit homage to Richard Donner's Superman movie.
Yeah.
That it had nothing of its own going for it. He hired some really lousy actors. The script sucked.
Oh.
The whole, like... And again, you're sort of hamstrung by the whole Superman canon, and that everything's got to fit into that, and he was very strict about that. Trying to find where it fits, and this one and Superman Returns apparently ignored Superman 3 and 4 and took place after Superman 2. I guess was the idea behind
it. It's good to ignore Superman 3 and 4.
Okay, but I think people
because Richard Pryor.
Okay, Superman Returns has just joined Superman 3 and 4 as the movies that they're going to ignore ever happened because they're not going to have this super kid running around. Which was the plot of Superman Returns. That was the big twist ending, I guess, was that there was actually a super child that Lois Lane's pussy popped out.
Look,
somehow.
When you do something like Superman
Clark Kent was away.
Or James Bond or whatever, and you wait long enough, you can reset it. You can reboot
it. Right, and they did that with James Bond.
Yeah.
And with some success, I suppose.
They basically just said, we'll just pretend that we, whatever.
And it's fine.
That's what they did. But they did. But Superman Returns was like, well, it kind of is a takeoff from the old. No,
should they have just told the original Superman story, almost like Batman Begins, where we saw him becoming Superman?
Yeah, they should.
Would
just
that have been
it.
Better?
Yeah,
because that's what Superman. That's why Superman, the original Superman, is considered such a great movie. Is it was the entire Superman story in one movie? Kind of.
Personally, I get tired of watching the origin stories because I know the stuff, and
I'd
rather just see.
But isn't that what's interesting about Superman? Is how he became Superman. Once the guy Superman, do you really give a shit?
I don't know,
because that's sort of like Batman. Batman Begins showed you Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they made Dark Knight, they said, "Well, you know what? If you never saw Batman Begins, you didn't really miss anything."
That's good though. But Dark Knight was good because it
because it just said fuck everything.
We're right in the middle of,
and it said this guy's a superhero. Just you.
Who doesn't
that.
Know? Who doesn't know who Batman or Superman is?
Right. But it seemed like Superman Returns, though, tried to, flash back and tie into stuff and
it was lame.
Flash forward to stuff, and it was like...
I couldn't have hated that movie more. I really
It was really awful.
And I'll tell you why. You want to talk about... We did some material about homosexuality earlier on today's show.
Boy.
And I feel bad about that, but I don't feel bad about this. Brandon Routh takes it in the ass.
You have a clip of that?
That's faggot
oh,
stuff.
Oh, okay, you don't.
You want to call it by its name, that's strictly for fags.
But do you think that had anything to do with it? Was that it was too gay?
Yes, here's what I say about that guy.
Screw you, motherfucker!
Well, that's what I say to
Brandon Routh or Bryan Singer?
That kid was terrible.
He was bad.
I don't care about the director, whatever. Bryan Singer.
But he's an out-of-the-closet fag, though, let's just say the record.
Yeah, and I don't...
But does that affect it at all? Gay guy making Superman, does that make it bad?
A gay actor wasn't good as Superman. I'll put it to you that way.
Okay.
And people will say, oh, Brandon Routh's not gay.
I don't know if he's gay or not.
Okay. Sure. Whatever. Allegedly. I'm just saying.
There's a lot of allegedly.
Even if he isn't gay, he read as gay.
Well, he was doing a Christopher Reeve impression to me.
Which you couldn't do. You couldn't put the lightning in the bottle.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeve managed to be in a suit with a cape and pull it off and make it believable and make it real. Mm-hmm. And this kid was just, they made the cape brown. I'm sorry, I don't want to get excited.
The cape was brown.
Well, you know what I mean? The colors, they were like, let's dim down the colors. Right? And if you look at the Superman Returns costume, it's like,
you know what,
it's kind of maroon.
That's a movie I watched once in the theater, which was in 3D IMAX bullshit. At least portions of it were. And then it's come on cable, and I always go, you know, I can't possibly tune into this for more
now,
than 2 seconds.
I mean, obviously, as a comic book fan in general, I like Superman.
Right.
He's not my favorite comic book character.
Mm-hmm.
I like Spider-Man more than him, but Matt McClowery, our friend, a comedian, he's like a Superman obsessive. And I'm
what did he think about it?
I can't. You can't get an answer out of him. Like, I'll see McClowery will, like, you know, all these comics have these notebooks full of jokes.
Uh-huh.
McClowery's got jokes and then, like, drawings.
Of Superman?
And he'll sit there and doodle, and he's got, like, a lot of drawings of Superman in his notebook. Like, the guy's a Superman freak.
Well, is it hard because...
He's like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And I bet he just got mad and wanted to punch walls when he saw that movie.
Is it difficult because you love something so much that you can't possibly... be objective about it and just go.
It's going to be hard for me to enjoy the Star Trek. I love the old Star Trek show.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for me to be objective about Star Trek.
The Star Trek movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
Well, my point is, though, like, are you just happy that, hey, here's another one of these? And you're just like, okay, I enjoy. Because that's how I felt about Star Wars The Phantom Menace at the time it came out.
There are people that are like that, yeah.
I'm happy to just have Star Wars. I don't care if it's that good at the point.
Right.
Now I look back and go, okay, that really did suck. But at the time when it came out, I was sort of like, hey, it's another Star Wars movie.
There are some guys who are such fans, they feel the need to defend stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll be like, look, Jaws 3 was really not that bad. Speaking of 3D.
Yeah, we're tying into a lot of 3D, the history of terrible 3D.
Anyway, we got on a tangent. Although, but Star Trek was, they showed the preview for the new Star Trek on the Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's something we can talk about.
Can I just quickly list everything that was good in 3D?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead. Now you go. Yeah, that's the list of everything.
Well, the best 3D, we agreed that the best 3D we've seen was Beowulf.
Beowulf, yes. Beowulf was
and
good.
And that used a polarized lens system other than
stereo. Which,
not to get all dorky.
No, that's fine because they don't do the polarized thing in the home, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. And again, I think it has
I think the TV uses a different process.
Because it's using I don't know. Yeah, probably just the way it's using an interlaced fields or something.
I'd have to read about this for about a half hour. But
yeah, I will make a
I will mail you
the technical information about the PAL versus NTSC systems versus ATSC systems and why a 1080p projection could really show a polarized... Okay, go ahead.
It's so true.
But yeah, Beowulf was good, and I haven't seen a lot of these other 3D movies because they're all for kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chicken Little and some of these other dopey ones.
Right.
Monster House.
Bolt and all that stuff.
Bolt.
Well, I think I'm going to
Polar Express.
Well, one of the previews that they had on the Super Bowl was for Monsters versus Aliens.
Right.
Which is the new DreamWorks movie, which looks, the style of, looks a lot like in The Incredibles.
Okay, so you like that.
They based it on that. And it looked fun to me. I don't know. Okay. It looked, what do you got? You got Seth Rogen is like the Blob.
Okay.
And what's his name from Will Arnett?
All right.
Is like a merman, like an aqua amphibian man. That looks pretty good. You know, it looks like it's got a sense of humor. It looks like it's a... I'll go see that.
Okay.
But the cinema 3D process, the polarized lenses are much better.
It works better.
They're not these bicolored lenses. They're not the stereoscopic or whatever
they
call it.
And the IMAX process uses something similar too, where it's not a red and a blue lens. I've seen some IMAX 3D stuff. And
they get these big, thick Michael Caine glasses.
Yeah, those are like shields. But they're a lot more comfortable to wear than these paper things. These cut into your nose.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're terrible. Got these but here. The 3D works really well.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I saw some like Jim Cameron Bottom of the Sea.
Right. I've seen some of those 3D, IMAX.
And it looked terrific.
Yeah, the informative ones. Like I watched one about like the living sea, and it was really neat.
It was so good, you really stopped, you know, thinking about the 3D.
Yeah, and you just watched it and said, hey.
Although, the problem was, is that at a certain point, it was just like a coral reef at the bottom of the ocean, where you're like, you know, you weren't really getting the full impact of the 3D, because there weren't effects.
Yeah. But I don't think that
you see a submarine coming towards you. And, you know.
But this stuff with the glasses, you can't do that again. Chuck, an hour of Chuck was hard to watch.
Yeah, and you couldn't find the goddamn glasses.
You couldn't find the glasses. We did get them for Chuck, but, you know, still.
I'm kind of glad I didn't have the 3D so that I could ignore the horrible Sobe Lifewater commercial with the...
That was a bad commercial.
With Ray Lewis
Which
dancing around.
Which is funny because it was a sequel to a commercial that was in last year's Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
with Naomi Campbell and the Dancing Lizards dancing the Thriller.
And everybody liked it.
No. I fucking hated that commercial and everyone else liked it. I hated it. Everyone, I think you didn't like it either, but a lot of people liked it. And then they made the sequel, which you didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
It's bad times.
Let's get into Super Bowl. Let's get into it.
All right, let's do it.
You want to do our bets? You want to do commercials? It's almost break time. Why don't we do some of the commercials real quick and then we'll get into our bets.
Let's do a brief recap.
Let's do the movie commercial straight away. G.I. Joe.
Looked like ass.
Well, it looked hokey and it looked kind of kiddie or like teen, tween.
Now, there is something I don't have any. Okay, I liked it as a kid, you know?
Right.
Like the first G.I. Joe cartoon came out in about 82.
Right.
I was a kid. I watched it. I liked it. I had the toys.
Right.
But I don't have any emotional connection to it.
But I think that is following the Transformers blueprint
mm-hmm.
where we're going to make a live action thing and it's going to be kind of goofy and it's mm-hmm. not really going to be realistic at all. It's going to be just cartoony, like a living cartoon kind of thing.
Yeah. Which, that's fine. It's G.I. Joe. That's fine. Right.
But I think there are.
But they annoyed me with. They're all wearing like the same looking suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Just give them different. They're army uniforms.
G.I. Joe is all different guys, or it's like.
Yeah, they all have a specialty.
Oh, okay. I don't even know enough about G.I. Joe. Here's what I know about G.I. Joe, and this is why I always hated it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a little kid, G.I.
Joe.
They
were big.
But G.I. Joe was a guy. It wasn't like a team of guys. It was like a soldier. It was like the name of. It was like Barbie.
Yeah,
they just
always,
a guy.
They always had a team. They had the adventure team.
But they weren't...
They were big 12-inch
Your general G.I. Joe had a beard, and he had a kung fu grip and stuff.
Yeah.
And they had a couple spinoffs of it, but it was basically a guy. There wasn't a whole backstory.
Now,
like,
then they turned into a
team.
When
they turned it into a cartoon, it became like a whole like action-adventure thing, which I never got into. I said, well, fuck all that. I was just like into the... I was into the army man. It was like a big army man.
Yeah.
Which I liked. Then when it became a whole show, I was like, fuck this. Plus, I was like 11 years old, and it was kind of too old for G.I. Joe. So.
Sure.
Because there were guys that were in like my grade. I think it was in sixth grade. And there were guys in the G.I. Joe, and I was like, dude, grow up.
Well, I'm a couple years younger than you. So
I know. So you would have fallen in. You would have
fallen
in.
Hit me right in the sweet spot.
I was looking at boobs at that point. I was too busy.
I was about 8.
Yeah, you're right. So,
and it was a good time for me. But they all had a sailor guy.
Yeah.
They all had specialties.
Yeah, and that's fine. Codenames. Yeah.
But now they're all in like the same black, nylon suits.
We'll see if that gets...
Dennis Quaid's in that. That looks like a real good career move for him.
All right, here's another movie, Angels and Demons, the sequel to The Da Vinci Code. Okay, I think we both agree.
You know what? You would think I would love anything that turns the Catholic Church into dust.
No?
You know, as much as I hate those Irish boy touchers.
Mm-hmm.
Or Italian boy touchers, if the case.
All right, now stop picking on the Italians.
I'm just saying.
The Catholic Church does not represent all Italians.
Hold on. Where is the headquarters of the Catholic Church?
It's in Rome, but it's actually in Vatican City, which is not part of Italy. It is a sovereign nation.
Fuck you and
it's
the horse.
A sovereign nation.
Okay,
it's not part of Italy proper.
Get back on your burrow and ride back into the wine country, you Guinea. If you tell me. That the fucking Pope is not in Italian.
He's not in.
He's
Italy.
A German. But,
he's a German. Yeah.
But I know. But it's Italy.
Yeah, he is from Deutschland. Yeah, he is. I would confirm that for you.
The Pope was Hitler Youth. You know.
Yeah, I know that he was in the resistance. He was in the.
He shot down American fighters.
He supplied ammo or something, right? Yeah. He didn't actually shoot the gun, but he was.
Supply. Well,
or something.
Guess what? You're not shooting a plane down.
Supply.
Without somebody putting bullets in the fucking.
Enough
thing.
About the Pope. Let's move on to the next movie. Year One, starring Michael Cera and Jack Black in like, I even describe it like History of the World Part One or something. It was like these guys in ancient. It's a comedy set in ancient Rome.
Yeah, it's like. Is it the first year? It's year one of the Bible.
It's year one AD or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like Bill and Ted Go Back in Time or something. Is what it looked like to me. I don't know.
They're like riding on an ox cart going, Whoa! Yeah. Look, at first I thought it was cavemen.
Yeah.
But then they ran into, like, you're right, they ran into, like, Roman soldiers.
Yeah, so it was, it reminded me of History of the World Part 1 more than anything. But
yeah,
I can't imagine that's going to be any good. It looked, the preview was bad, so. Land of the Lost with Will Ferrell. Did you not see it, or did you
I saw it online.
Oh, okay.
Because I missed it at the, on, the, yes. on the show.
Well, here's the thing. They're making that into a comedy where I think the original Land of the Lost played it straight. And they do that sometimes when they update these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Brady Bunch movie became like all of a sudden like a parody of Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
And I think this movie is talking about is going to be like a parody of Land of the Lost.
It's a Will Ferrell movie.
Right.
And the problem with that is about every fifth Will Ferrell movie is any good.
Yeah. But it's got big effects. It's got dinosaur stuff. It looked like Jurassic Park.
It could be okay.
I don't know that anyone's that fond of Land of the Lost.
That's another thing where it was on when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I don't have a connection to it.
Right. It was cool because it was on. It was the only thing. When you had three channels,
yeah,
it was cool because there was nothing else on.
Yeah.
But I don't know that anybody's like waxing this. It's kind of like Speed Racer. People are like, oh, Speed Racer, blah, blah, blah. But no one really ever liked
it. Let me tell you, Land of the Lost was a tremendous show for the $4 that they spent on it.
Right. It was guys in suits and you could see the zippers and they were running around.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it was Bill Laimbeer.
Bill
Laimbeer, one of the guys.
A young Bill Laimbeer who became a star with the Detroit
Pistons.
He was
a sleestack.
Yeah. And
then they had the little freaky monkey dude, the little freaky monkey midget.
And it was all like blue screens. Chaka. The kids were running around in front of a blue screen and they'd project the jungle behind them. And
there was that and Electro Woman and Dinah Girl.
Yeah.
And they cost about 9 cents. Mm-hmm. And I like that stuff, but I don't have any connection. I don't have any emotion.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
If they fuck up Land of the Lost, is my life ruined?
No, that's what I mean by this. That's, I mean, this actually has potential in that. It's not like Superman where they're trying to just do what was been done before. Yeah. They're actually going to try something new, and it could pass or fail.
Whereas I really legitimately like Star Trek, the old Kirk, the old Shatner show.
That's my next thing on the list. Let's move on to the new Star Trek. Which, if you saw the trailer, and I remember you said you had missed it last night or during the game.
I saw it.
Did you see it? And it really wasn't all that different than the other ones.
It wasn't terribly different, no. So, now, this is a problem with this. They got this young guy as Kirk. Obviously, they recast everybody, and it's an update. I think, but that's what they're doing. Instead of Superman Returns, they're doing an update of, like, you know.
Well, they're doing a reset, a reboot, almost.
But they're keeping it, you know, it's the original Kirk, Spock, McCoy.
Okay.
Star Trek looks kind of cool to me. It looks like they're taking it into a much more of an action movie.
Right, I thought it looked like Firefly, the or whatever. Is that the show he did, or is that the movie? Which
Firefly. Well, it was, yeah, Serenity was the movie.
But the outer space stuff looks a lot like Serenity to me, which, you know, I'm kind of. It doesn't look Star Trek-y.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and sometimes the people are wearing like just dungarees and stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
which isn't very Star Trek.
Look, I'll give that a look. I think if it's, you know, I think it's one of those things where. If it's a real good movie, it's going to do great. Mm-hmm. And I think it could do something that could be good despite the really super hardcore Star Trek fans. Like, even if they don't like it, I think the movie could have success if it's like a good movie otherwise, where regular people just go and not the nerds. Because when, you know, they started making those Star Trek movies just for the nerds, and they started making less and less money. And I think they had to.
I think they're
do a
trying
reboot.
To make this more
and the series and all that
of
stuff.
A big, big scale action.
Yeah, I think
movie.
This would be more inclusive of a film than just making a nerdy Star Trek movie.
You know, yeah, Star Trek got swallowed up by nerds, but the original NBC show was for nerds, but also just a regular
show. It was a drama. It was a sci-fi.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a Western
genre.
In space.
Yeah, it was a West. Yeah, it was like one of those pictures you'd see in the 60s.
And that's kind of what I like about it is that it's like 60s TV where there's a fight scene in every show. Uh-huh. You know, you can't get 60 minutes without somebody getting punched in the face. The later Star Treks were not like that. Sometimes they would sit down and have a cup of tea. There'd be some sci-fi element, but, you know.
And then the new series, those lost audience as they went along where. People liked the original, or what was it, Star Trek, the Next Generation, and then they went to Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine and Voyager were totally
Voyager,
for the fans, by the fans.
Enterprise,
they made some attempts to try and reach
get
out.
Get people in, yeah.
But didn't work.
Yeah, so.
But
those got progressively less and less people tuned in.
I think it looks fun. It looks exciting to me, but why are they, at one point they skydived.
Okay.
And I sat there going, why the fuck are they skydiving?
Well, like, who knows?
They can teleport, right?
Yeah.
They can beam to shit.
Right.
But they're jumping out of something and skydiving. Don't they have some kind of anti-gravity technology? Some kind of... anyway, just maybe not.
Well, I will give that a look. That's a movie I guess.
All right.
I'm not like...
The guy playing Kirk's a little pretty for my taste.
Yeah.
Chris Pine.
Okay.
They're making him the young, brash rebel.
Okay. Maybe I missed one. The only other movie I have left on my list of the movie trailers was Race to Witch Mountain, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson as a cab driver.
That's yet another 70s thing. That's yet
they're remaking. And it really is the same era of Land of the Lost.
Those are Disney movies from when we were kids. Those are actually kind of before us. Those are like 73.
I saw those.
I seem to remember those being on TV.
I saw those as a kid, but like later. You know, because they would bring... The thing about movies back in the days, before there was video, they would re-release some of these movies back to theaters. And so, yeah, I think I did see those in theaters, but not on their original run.
Yeah.
The Witch Mountain movies. And this one looked bad, but... I'm not sure.
Wasn't Eddie Arnold in those?
You know what? I can't even remember. I remember the girl was, as a young boy, I thought that girl was cute that they had in those Witch Mountain movies.
She was like a Haley Mills type.
She was a little cute, little blonde.
All right. See, the first one came out in 75.
Okay. And there were two sequels or one sequel?
There was one.
Just one?
Yeah. Eddie Albert.
Okay.
Was like their older guy
and
friend.
The kids had kinetic powers or something. Wasn't that the whole plot of that?
Yes, they have like ESP powers.
Yeah,
they're like alien kids with ESP powers. And now this one, Dwayne Johnson is going to help them out.
I don't even know what the plot of it. If you saw the trailer, it's a bunch of bullshit where the kids are making stuff disappear. And they've done a lot of kids with superpower movies lately. And maybe that's was the inspiration to remake this. But those 70s movies had a charm about them that was like kind of, I don't know that this one's going to have, but anyway, I'm not the target audience. This is strictly for 8-year-olds.
No, those old Disney movies, they would have jokes in them.
Yeah.
But these new movies are like, hold on, stop.
Right.
Dwayne Johnson's going to make a joke about a diaper.
Yeah. Cause the sort of thing with that was that I was like kids save the world sort of in the Witch Mountain movies. And in this one, they're throwing The Rock in there, which makes me think that they're trying to get like fans of his to. Although he's only doing kid movies at this point. It seems.
And that's good. That's a good move for him.
Well, I know because
he made a movie. He made one of the worst movies of the decade.
Really?
Oh yeah.
What was that?
Southland Tales.
Oh okay, yeah.
Which was the big follow up from the director of Donnie Darko. Which was a horrible train wreck of a movie. And no, it'll have a cult following in years to come where people will go, oh my God, the visionary genius of Sherry O'Terry running around with a shotgun.
Yeah.
But it's so bad. And it was like, okay, he did something arty and it didn't work.
Right.
Right back to changing diapers. That was right. the
right.
You know, boom. Nanny Cop 5, I'm in it.
Well, he's apparently done a movie called, and I don't think it ever came out, The Tooth Fairy. I think is a future rock, but I'm not even making that up. I'm trying to remember. And Witch Mountain. Although maybe Tooth Fairy, can't, I don't know.
There was Return to Witch Mountain. There was Escape to Witch Mountain.
And Return to Witch Mountain.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. Okay, why don't we take a break? We've got other Super Bowl commercials to talk about. We got to do our bets. And we'll talk about the halftime show with Springsteen. And I have some other Super Bowl notes. It was a funny thing in the Obama interview that was... preceded the Super Bowl with Matt Lauer. So let's play more Malcolmus.
All right, then.
We'll come back. We got a lot more Super Bowl recap and a bunch of other stuff. So right after this. A minor must go through oh so many foul hoops, and I want you to know I got a finger full of catatonic drool. The way you cast the shade Anyway, we're back. Hey, Corey and Joel, show 207. Welcome back.
Malaikum salam.
How are you? All right. We'll get into this. A couple of quick things. Email us. Email at CoreyandJoelRadio.com if you have any thoughts on anything we're talking about. You also can leave your thoughts in a voicemail message at 610-552-0746. Call that number and tell us what you think on the douchebag hotline. We'll play it on the air if it's funny. And if you want to donate anything to the show, if you're feeling like maybe you're going to get some Uncle Sam money back, it's tax season, you could give us a little tax refund money. How about that?
Because Uncle Sam ain't helping my ass out at all.
Corey and I will not be getting tax refunds because we're
broke. I don't know if the stimulus is going to...
Nah, we're not stimulating.
They're not sending more checks out, are
there's
they?
There's no... I don't think you're going to get like a check like Bush gave you. But
yeah.
That works so well.
Yeah, it really helped, didn't it?
Hey, it got me a new computer. It helped me.
I guess you, yeah, you went out and stimulated the economy.
I bought a computer.
Economy.
Really cheap, so anyway. Donate on the lunch fund on the front page of CoreyandJoelRadio.com. It says help buy our lunch. Use PayPal or a credit card from anywhere in the world. If you like the show, any amount is fine. But if you like the show, help us out. Give us a little tip, a little donation. Anyway, okay.
I went and used... You know, the Best Buy gift certificates to stimulate the economy by buying Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah, I think you're going to... Guitar Hero 3 kind of like was great when it came out because it was like, hey, it's Guitar Hero on the Xbox, and we hadn't had it yet. Actually, there was a Guitar Hero 2 on the Xbox, but you had that wireless controller. And then Rock Band came out and was like, I never want to play Guitar Hero 3 again in my entire life.
So. Yeah.
But it's enjoyable. But if you do get good at Guitar Hero 3, and I know you're saying you're playing on easy, you start to play on hard, and you're going to play a guitar solo, and you're just like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, no, it's impossible.
Wait, I'm only hearing three notes, and there's 27 button hits, and they're all chords. Why
yeah,
is that?
Right.
It's because the developers cheated. They made the songs more difficult by adding notes to the charts that aren't there.
What bothered me is the farther you get in the game, the more like metal it is.
Oh, yeah, it gets real metal.
And I don't really want to play a Disturbed song.
I know what you're saying. And also the thing about Guitar Hero 3 that you'll find out is there's songs that can only be unlocked by playing two-player.
Yeah.
In other words, there's like Jane's Addiction, The Strokes, I think Block Party is on there. And you can't even play the songs unless you're playing them as two-player, unless you beat them in two-player mode. In that case, then you can play those songs in single player mode, but not in like the career, but in the like whatever, just the general pick it up and play mode. And you can only play those songs. So there's like a whole 15 songs you can't even play unless you have a second controller and somebody else to play with originally, which is annoying.
Well,
like, why not just give you all the songs you paid for them?
Well,
you paid to play those songs, and now you can't even do it. Which is a stupid feature. That.
Yeah.
And they fixed all that on later Guitar Hero, on the newest one. Remember, the newest one's better, but I had jumped over to Rock Band, and I'm staying there, and I'm not going back to Guitar Hero.
Well, be that World way. Tour.
No, it's fine, and I know you got it. What did you pay for that combo?
It wasn't cheap.
Yeah, I know, because it was $100 when it came out with that guitar. And
well, it was like half of that.
Well, people are saying that... those games have the market has been saturated to
they're
where
they're kind of tight with the
to yeah. where and they're like
well they're still but they were still getting $189 for Rock
yeah
Band.
The newest combos are still $189. They got some discounts over the holidays from time to time, but yeah, now you can find the instruments on the cheap and some of the older the bundles are they're giving those away. So at least you jumped in again. I mean, it's still fun. I'm not you know.
It keeps the woman happy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
She can play that.
Well, a chick may never want to play it beyond easy.
No, she plays it on medium.
Does she really? But she may not want to ever.
Well, she
played
care instruments.
To play. Yeah,
she played.
She's got musical.
She
chops.
Played guitar and violin.
Okay.
And stuff. So,
all right. So it's your monkey
and she
finger,
lords
so.
It over me that you know
that you suck.
That's one game she can beat me in.
Oh, okay.
But well, right. I'll get better.
All right. So anyway, let's get into Super Bowl. You know, Corey and I did bets last time on the show, and we've done this most years, I think we've done the show, where we made 20 crazy prop bets, which are all essentially like coin toss kind of bets. They're all like, you know, there's no real clear advantage. I think some of these were more long shots than others. And we did 20 bets, and Corey has always won this.
Yeah.
And, that string was broken this year because Corey lost to me. He ended up the final tally in bets.
By the way, we're never playing the spread again.
Oh, no, you have to play the spread.
No,
that's
we're
the,
not.
That's the best bet.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are.
Nope, straight up winner or loser.
No, you can't do that because that's not an even bet. You can't make that bet.
Why is that not an even bet?
It's not an even bet. That's why there's a spread. You make it even.
You fucking people with your spreads.
Well, that's how you bet. You don't bet money on an even bet. Anyone can predict who's going to win. Everyone knew the Steelers were going to win.
Yeah, but it was close.
I know, and it was close enough to where the
spread. It was
spread,
a four-point game. So
and it was a six-point spread. So, I mean, there's you can't really argue about that.
Fucking spread. The spread is a gimmick for the house to win money on.
It's a gimmick that causes people to bet. People wouldn't have bet on Arizona unless they would have gotten the points. And that's
yeah,
what they did.
Which is why it's bullshit.
Which one of these wasn't bullshit?
What?
That was the fun of it, is they're all bullshit. That's whatever. What's fun about it.
Some of, those are, some of those are educated football guesses, which I got wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see?
I mean, Edgar and James.
Edgar rushing. And James, Willie rush for over 49 and a half yards.
I thought 50 yards wasn't much
and
to
I
get.
Gave you the stats, and he had played three playoff games so far, and he had rushed for over 49 and a half in every one, but I guess they set the line that way because the Pittsburgh D was so good. I guess their run defense was that good that they just said, hey, and when you made that bet, I went like, well, Corey's going to get that. And he got 33 rushing yards.
You know, 50 yards is not a
but that's
high
why
watermark.
These are fun bets to make. Yeah. Is that there's a randomness to this? There's no easy way to tell what. And you know, I had the Larry Fitzgerald would his longest reception be over 35 and a half yards. He had like one reception in the first half for like 10 yards,
mm-hmm.
and then he went nuts in the fourth quarter and got a big 65 yard touchdown.
So. Yeah,
but that was looking like a bad bet anyway. In total, the total interceptions in the game over under two was a push.
Mm-hmm.
That was two. So no one won money on that. So
I thought that with Warner throwing all the time.
That yeah.
And with the defense being good.
Well, you had less than two. I had more than two. Actually.
No, I thought it was the other way.
No. You had more than two. But it didn't matter because it was a push.
That's probably because
anyway.
You picked the...
I might have picked that there were more than two. But anyway, there were 19 bets. Ultimately, I won 11 and Corey won 8. So the difference, the money, that it's still not changed hands because Corey went to McDonald's before the show and spent all his money, which is a Jew fucking move if I've ever seen it. I don't have $3.
I forgot.
I have only enough to buy McDonald's and nothing
else. I don't have cash
on
me.
It's such a stupid move.
I'm
guys
sorry.
Never have cash. All right. So I won $3. So, Corey, you're in there
all
for
right.
$3.
All right, fine.
Do you want me to go through what I won and what you won real quick?
No, I'm good.
Well, people might not know.
We did this. We people, if they listened last
they
week.
They listened last week
there.
But, Corey, you did lose because I had Arizona, and with the point difference, I won that. Corey got the over. Corey got the
coin. To me, that's
cost.
Why it's stupid. The spread is stupid because Pittsburgh won the game and Arizona did not win the game.
But that's
who gives a shit about
the point
spread?
Of the spread. That's so. So you made a fun bet to make.
It's gay.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Corey won. Was there anything interesting, Corey? You got the defensive touchdown.
I did, which was
sometimes
very exciting. Well, I was really in the hole, and then
Pittsburgh
scored
saved
the on the last
had
drive.
Pittsburgh not scored at the end, I don't know what you would have...
Which assured that I got
you
the
got
last
the
score
over,
as a touchdown.
You got the last score
Pittsburgh
as a touchdown.
Scored last.
Pittsburgh scored last. That was like a $3 swing
yeah,
on that one play.
And then, you know...
So,
and
yeah.
And the over on the points.
Yeah, you got the over, so...
Now, the point over, I don't mind.
That's fine with you.
But the total win, the game...
It's a spread. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's gay.
It's not a big deal. It's because you lost it. Now you're upset about it.
No, but the point over is something you can. I don't know. It's kind of arbitrary to me.
Well, you bet on the coin toss for fuck's sake.
Well, I wish we'd done the real wacky bets, like what color Gatorade's going
to
come out.
But you can't. I had to make these one or the other. Yeah, I couldn't make these multiple choice. So, you know, that's why I picked these bets. So, first player to score a jersey number odd. That was one that I researched. I thought Warner's first pass would be completed. It was. You know, there was no 2-point conversion attempted. Some of these were a little predictable, but but you did okay. I mean, it was a three bet difference. That's the fun of those. It's no one. It's really hard to kick somebody's ass hard in that and win like $10.
No, and I've never won it big.
No, but you. I think you won. I remember giving you like $7 once after this.
One time we played it with multiple people, and I
you
won.
Know, that's actually fun if you have three people doing that because sometimes then. you know, you have bets with more than one person.
I think, didn't we have four or five people running bets?
It'd be fun if like, we had Rob in here. We could make bets with Rob and bets with you and you with Rob.
$15 out of the deal.
Like, I would give money to Rob and then Rob would take my money and give it to you or something, and that was fun. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I did better than Corey this year, thankfully, in the Super Bowl bets. And it was a great game, too. We might as well talk about the game instead of just, you know, we're so gay, we're talking about the Star Trek, you know. We're going to do more analysis of the Star Trek commercial than the actual game.
But, I believe that that's what our fans want. Okay, let's face it. Half our fans are in the Arctic Circle
or
you know, some strange corner of Bavaria.
I am not a fan of gridiron. I am not a fan of the
American football.
Yeah.
But I don't like regular football either.
I did like...
I'm a fan of backgammon and pickup sticks. Those
are
two sports.
The only team that I will root for is the Rhine Fire in the now-defunct NFL Europe.
I don't think that's happening.
So he can't
really. Although Sean Stone was a big fan of the Frankfurt Galaxy.
Oh, was he really?
Yes.
Oh,
you know that.
Okay.
He actually has a Frankfurt Galaxy jersey.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
He got that on sale, I'm guessing.
He got that in Frankfurt.
Oh, did he really?
Well, he was when he was stationed in Germany.
Service, yeah.
He'd go over there.
So the game was real good, and Arizona, I think their weakness was they passed too much.
Mm-hmm.
Which people say, well, that was their strength. They were
it was definitely a weakness because I lost the goddamn bet with Edge.
But they also threw that, they were on like the 3-yard line or the 5 at the end of the second half, and they threw a pass that was intercepted. Run back for a 100-yard interception, touchdown return by the Steelers. And that kind of sealed the fate, was the difference in the game. And while they were valiantly came back in the fourth quarter, the Cardinals did. It was not enough, but it was exciting.
It was one of the closer Super Bowls.
One of the better Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So, thumbs up on the game.
Roethlisberger had some great plays where he would just kind of run around and then make a pass.
That's kind of what he does.
Yeah. It was good.
Here's some other thoughts. I was making some notes during the game.
That sounds terrible. That was like the worst football analyst ever.
I know.
He'd run around and make a pass.
That's what he'd do.
But, you know, he had elusiveness.
He's elusive in that he doesn't just drop back and throw the ball like a lot of these guys.
He'll run three or four times around the line and then, you know, make a pass. Madden was like, he's so big and strong, you can't pull him down.
Yeah.
Like, that's getting gay there, Madden.
Yeah, Madden's always been a little, I mean, please. You know how we slather the nuts of Brett Favre for 2 decades, this guy.
Halftime show? How'd you feel about that?
Well, that was Bruce, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Springsteen halftime. I'm a Springsteen fan from back in the day, more than I am now.
Amy hated on every second of it.
Well, what is her problem?
She's like, this is old man rock.
She's, okay, your girlfriend, you should check and make sure she's actually an American. Because she may be a foreign agent that has infiltrated us. I'm just saying.
Look, I am thoroughly 100% indifferent to Tom Petty, who did last year.
Yes. Okay.
I feel Tom Petty is the tapioca pudding of rock and roll music.
Okay.
Right? It's not bad, but I've just never cared about it ever.
All right.
That's how Amy feels about Springsteen, although I think she actually actively disliked it. I don't know.
Really? I don't think Springsteen's something you can, like, go, I hate this. I could see being just kind of like, it's not
She was
for
like,
me.
Okay, Born to Run's fine, but
it's
whatever.
It's for guys. I kind of get that
I don't know. She
bit.
Just was like, this is old man music. And I guess I could.
Well, there was one. We were talking about this off the air, but the Super Bowl halftime show used to be real hokey. It used to be like a Thanksgiving Day parade with big floats and balloons.
They're getting A-list talent. It used to be...
It's a rock concert now, essentially.
Oh,
is what
it used
they
to be
halftime.
Snoopy and Woodstock would come out and run around and, you know, shoot Nerf balls at each other. It was terrible.
Yeah, it used to be up with people and choirs and baton twirlers and color guards. And
everybody get a boner because a guy landed a jetpack on the field.
Yeah,
you know?
They were weird. They would do just kind of oddball, you know. Like,
there was an Elvis impersonator one year.
Yeah, there were dogs jumping through hoops and stuff, and that used to be the halftime show.
Yeah.
And they would mix all of those elements
up. You might
up.
Get lucky and, you know, Ray Charles's old ass
right.
would come out.
But then they started doing music, but there was a year, just to tell you how far we've come with getting good acts, because after the Janet Jackson thing, that was MTV was producing that one, and some other people had produced it before that. And then we had the string of the Rolling Stones, U2, Prince,
Paul McCartney.
So they've had these big acts, but kind of these legendary acts.
I think they're kind of out of mega
greatest
bands.
Hits. Well, they might be, but there was a year that they did music. They just dropped all
what,
the
Zeppelin going to do
Dizzy
it?
Stuff. Well, let me tell you, I remember this lineup. It was No Doubt, Shania Twain, and Sting.
Mm-hmm.
And they all collaborated. And I'm like, that's some of the worst music you'll ever hear in your entire life. Like, that was
that's
just garbage.
Stuff.
I mean, nobody. That's all middle of the road shit.
Speaking of garbage collaborations,
so that was bad, and you can't. That I'm not a fan of.
Well, no, they went.
They could still do the Who. They could still do, you know. There's bands out there they could do.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested Jimmy Buffett would be a good half.
Oh,
show.
Fuck me.
Yeah, I know. That I would actually say there's old man music.
Well, actually, Bruce said Coldplay, which I guess could make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they have that universal appeal where, like, your parents might enjoy Coldplay. I don't know that that would happen.
Well, whatever.
Your
parents sure as hell didn't enjoy, you know, Justin Timberlake. And
well, yeah, that's what I mean. Those were bad for that reason. I mean,
I looked it up, and they didn't start really doing halftime music till like 91.
Well, there was one where Michael Jackson did it one year, and
but in the '80s, it was horrible.
In the '80s, yeah, it was bad. I remember
Up with freaking people.
Up with People did the Super Bowl that was at the Pontiac Silver.
Up and away in my beautiful balloon. Yeah. They do that. Kind
it was
of
all
shit.
Matching costumes, and
oh my god,
yeah, it was terrible,
it's horrible
fringe, and just that nasty shit. So yeah,
it
I
was
mean, I
marching bands and
it was marching so, bands and color guards.
Relax with the Super Bowl. I would like to see. Why don't the Killers do this?
Get up and go take a whiz if you don't like this.
You know what I'm saying though?
Michael Wilbon on Part of the Interruption said that Springsteen's not for him. He left the TV and went in front of his computer for half an hour and said he wouldn't even bother watching it because he's black and you know they don't like Springsteen.
It was well, they got Clarence Clemens.
Yeah, they do.
Come on,
they did.
They had
a lot of Conan's guys on there. Max Weinberg 7. They had the those guys out there, the horn section,
right?
Which was kind of fun to see. So, yeah.
Oh.
Other Super Bowl notes in the pregame show. They also had music.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a performance by Journey singing "Don't Stop Believin'."
What's with that? They have like a Filipino guy who's playing Steve Perry.
Okay, I'm going to stop believing in Journey because I don't know what that is.
Well, I never believed in Journey.
It's two original guys and a Filipino dishwasher from
I don't know where that kid came from. Yeah,
he was on YouTube singing Journey. And he's like, he sounds just like Steve Perry. And they get the guy. He's singing on a Super Bowl. He sang okay.
Well,
it wasn't Steve Perry. I never thought that was Steve Perry.
They had another Steve Perry replacement.
Steve
Augeri.
Who did sound like Steve Perry.
Yeah.
But this Filipino guy's no good. This
they
guy's
gotta
no
stop.
Good.
It's like the Gary Barone of
Gary Sharon on Van Halen.
Sharon,
yeah.
Excuse me.
But
okay, if those assholes could get together for 5 minutes, they could play the Super Bowl.
Right.
But they hate each other.
Next
so
year,
much.
Fleetwood Mac. How's that?
Old man fart.
But
music.
They're still together, and they're sort of considered led. Eagles. The Eagles.
Oh, I'd turn the channel.
I would
so
too,
fast.
But I'm just giving you names that they might use.
Right. They're done though. They all suck.
Those guys suck.
Put the band back together.
I would like to see the Who. Dylan. Would you like to see Dylan? No one. They would never do Dylan.
Speaking of Dylan.
Oh, he did a commercial. We should talk.
Speaking
about
of horrible mashups.
I didn't think that was that bad.
Did you? Okay.
Bob Dylan and Will I Am.
No, the Will I Am. I was out. I was like time.
They didn't even, first of all, Dylan wasn't even in the commercial as far as new footage. They used archived Dylan footage and kind of remade it with Will I Am.
Mm-hmm.
But the song was like a Will I Am remix of,
mm-hmm.
What was the song? I forget which Dylan song it was.
Youth, Forever
Young.
Forever Young.
Yeah, Forever Young. Maybe it was a new recording of Forever Young. I couldn't tell.
It was an old recording of Forever Young.
It might have been. I don't know. It might have been a new version of it. I don't know. It was a new mix of it.
First of all, I don't want to see Bob Dylan on NBC.
He did a Victoria's Secret commercial in the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
I know. What the hell?
And he was actually in it with the models. It's weird.
It's horrible.
I saw this one.
We're old. We're old people because I remember when there was a big to-do when Nike used Revolution.
I know. It was a big thing.
It was a big outrage. And now everything is raped and pillaged and anus fucked.
Do you remember the other Beatles Super Bowl commercial? A classic that I remember.
Which one was that?
It was Ringo eating the pizza backwards. Do you remember that? It's great. It's on YouTube if you want to look it up.
Was it like
Do you remember that? And he goes, it was like, stuffed crust pizza, and there was a whole celebrities that year, and they had a bunch of celebrities doing it, and he's like, he's sitting behind his drum kit, and there's all these other instruments set up, and he's like, I've got to convince the lads to eat our pizza backwards. And then they show him like in London, he's like, yo lads, and he's looking like they never say Beatles by name. He's like, where are the lads? And he's yelling out his window, lads, where are the lads at? And then they show him back and he's like, where are the lads? And the three monkeys walk up and they're like, hey Ringo.
I forgot.
And they're
that.
Eating their pizza backwards. And he's like, wrong lads. And it was just kind of funny to see Ringo.
I forgot that commercial.
It was no Mike Nesmith. It was the other three.
What about Herb, the guy who'd never tasted a Whopper? That was a big, stupid. Remember that?
No. Well, you're at, let me get into this.
Remember that? Yeah, you know, Herb?
You know.
That was about 1986. Okay. And they were like, they ran those commercials for months leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
About like, this gentleman has never eaten a Whopper, the last one
did
in
America. Did Herb eat one finally on the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and then
what
Herb
happened?
ate the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Wow.
Herb was like a guy who looked like, you know, Wally Pep. Wally Peepers.
Tom Sharp, right?
Right, Mr. Peepers.
Did he look like Tom Sharp?
No, it wasn't Tom Sharp, but it was a nerdy
was a balding guy?
Yeah, it was a nerdy.
No, Tom Sharp, as I said. Yeah, no one knows who Tom Sharp is,
no,
except me and you.
He looked more like Paul Giamatti.
Okay, all right.
But like, he's a total
paunchy bald guy.
Yeah,
Corey Hall. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but, whatever.
But no one would believe you've never eaten a Whopper.
Oh, you fat bastard.
No one's going to buy you.
Fucking dick. Anyway.
That was brilliant.
Thank you. Brilliant stuff. Yeah, so good. You fat bastard.
Can I go through the rest of the Super Bowl notes? I have notes. I took notes.
Okay. Herb was so bad.
You know what? I wish I'm going to have to look that up on YouTube. And you look up after the show. And
did they have like
free.
The Noid? Was that like a Super
look
Bowl
up,
commercial?
Yeah, he might have been. But look up, the Ringo Pizza commercial. It's good.
Well, the all-time greatest the Super Bowl commercial was the Apple.
That's what they say.
Commercial.
I think that was when the super commercials became that, because
yeah.
It was this unveiling of a new product, and they'll do that a lot
of years. I remember the always being kind of big commercials in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's you can only probably remember back to 83.
Right. I remember Stroh's used to do big commercials,
yeah.
And then Stroh's went tits up.
Okay, let me do this. Obama was interviewed by Matt Lauer,
mm-hmm.
And it was live, and it was fine. You know, Obama's on there, but there was this funny thing where he's in People. His family is on the cover, his wife and the two kids,
mm-hmm.
And they showed that he was cut out of the picture. In the actual magazine, Obama's sitting there, and then they cut him out,
right.
And Matt Lauer goes, because they have this sidebar on the cover, it's like, you were replaced by that fat picture of Jessica Simpson that we talked about last week, right? And he goes, well, Jessica, he's like, you're replaced by Jessica Simpson, and Obama goes, yeah, well, she's having a weight battle, apparently. Now, it's funny because that's what it said on the cover of People. It said, yeah. Jessica Simpson's weight battle, and he was just reading it.
Yeah.
But it could have been construed as he was dumping on Jessica Simpson being a fat.
I think he was just laughing that they cut him off.
They cut him off for Jessica
Simpson
being fat.
It was pretty funny because he's clearly right there in the picture,
yeah.
And then they slapped the sidebar up.
And Matt Lauer today on the Today Show said that they replayed that, and he said, yeah, he goes, just for clarification, he was discussing the People cover and not making a remark about Jessica Simpson's
right.
weight. And I agree with him because black guys love fat white girls. So why would he really have a problem? Thank you very much. I'm on a roll. I'm on a hot streak today. Come on. Now, see, again, people are going to think that wasn't funny because you played the sound effect. I give Corey all these drops of laughing, and he never plays them.
It's a complete example of people being too sensitive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
One,
I
Jessica
know.
Simpson is categorically... scientifically provably fat.
Absolutely.
Compared to, I mean, she's gained weight.
Yeah.
But I think the president was just goofing about.
He was goofing about
how that took precedence over him.
It's a poor editorial decision on the part of People. And if anyone's being disrespectful, it's people being disrespectful to the president and not the president being disrespectful to Jessica.
Of course, how many covers can they put him on?
He's been on everything. He's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly this week,
for
fuck's sake.
I was bitching about that last week.
Oh, God.
That Spider-Man, he's everywhere. You can't even read a comic book without running.
Let's go. When we talked about Bob Dylan, there was a Castrol commercial where monkeys did an oil change. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I like the one, what was it? I don't even remember what it was for. Oh, it was for Monster? Was it for Monster or some other job website?
What was it?
Where they were like, if you hate your job and you...
Oh, you want
to... Your boss makes fun of you.
Yeah.
And you want to punch a koala.
It was Career Builder or Monster. It was one of those.
I thought it was funny, except the problem was they repeated the joke 6 times.
Yeah, it was like the 12 Days of Christmas. It was like, you do this, you want to punch your small animal in the face, you do this, you blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You sit next to this guy in the office, it might be time for Career Builder. Blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
Blah, you know, so. Yeah, that one was pretty good. People were talking about it. I was listening to some sports talk radio today.
Uh-huh. Anytime you punch a koala in the face, it's good for
me. That's edgy. Here's another edgy commercial was Teleflora, where they were telling you, don't send flowers in a box.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you send flowers like through 1-800-Flowers, you get a box.
You just don't care.
And it means you don't care, and they give it to a woman, and the flowers start talking, and they start insulting the woman, and at one point say, no one wants to see you naked, which was pretty edgy for a commercial. So a woman, and the woman who I thought, I had a date over for the Super Bowls, I can say, but I thought that chick was cute.
Yeah.
I was like, I hit that. What's the problem?
Sure.
So, yeah.
That's the real story on all of this.
What's that?
It was your date for the Super Bowl.
So, and then there was this commercial. Conan was in a Bud Light commercial.
Yeah, just moving it along. Zipping it.
You know what?
Light.
Here's the problem with that commercial. It made guys sitting there with their wives going, oh, fuck, I can't send flowers in a box.
Well, that...
That's it. Put,
that's
it was
exactly
like putting the heavies on a guy.
No, because I was sitting there and I'm getting the.
Yeah, you're watching
I just
that
want,
with your date.
Yeah, I just want flowers. I'm like, oh Jesus, I got flowers.
But you can't send them in a box now.
Yeah,
you send the flowers to get the box.
God, she is so peculiar about the stuff she's like a girl about.
She's offended by that.
She's a girl about some stuff and not a, you know, like she's so dude like in so many ways, and then she loves her shoes and getting her hair done. And her flower. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some girls are all the way girl.
Yeah.
Where it's just 100% girl. But Amy could give a shit about cards.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
She doesn't care about that, but. Yeah. You know.
But whatever.
A Conan's Bud Light commercial, I thought, was one of the best ones.
That was all right.
Yeah. Where he, like, went to Sweden and made a commercial, and it was real super weird and gay, and it was on in Times Square, and he was embarrassed.
Yeah, you've kind of seen that premise before, but they
do that on his show. It reminded me of like a bit from his show, which was good.
Speaking of late night talk show,
yeah, I was going to get to that.
Characters who've fallen into and death pool picks.
Oh,
the Ed McMahon.
Cash for gold was because him and MC Hammer had a bunch of gold crap, which was funny because you kind of picture that Ed McMahon's house that they foreclosed on probably did have a gold toilet in it. Ed spent all his wife spent all his money. And Hammer, I think, did have a house with like gold sinks and stuff.
How did Ed lose all that money?
It's more amazing than Hammer losing all his money, because Hammer's a black guy. You expect him to lose all his money.
Okay,
that's like a notorious thing that happens.
It's more amazing because Hammer's earning potential was about a 4-year window.
Right. But with Ed, he's made money for like 50 years. He's been making good money. Unbelievable.
Right. Look at this way. Ed was on TV in the fucking late 50s.
You know why?
You know what I mean?
I think he got cleaned out in a couple divorces.
Yeah.
And then I think he probably was a guy, like Dick Clark was famous for always investing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like Bob Hope bought a bunch of land and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think McMahon did that. And I think that's how those guys made
Dolores
money.
Hope owns like half of L.A.
Yeah, that's what they said. Like Bob Hope was just buying like orange groves and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they became, you know, they became subdivisions.
Sure.
And they made money. All right, we got to quickly go. What else?
But,
we were talking about late night. How about the NBC had a promo for Leno?
Yeah, gay.
Leno was going to be on at 10 in the fall.
Oh, fuck him.
You know, it's interesting, though, that there is going to be a gap there then. It's going to be like a summer without Jay, where it's just going to be...
Screw you, motherfucker!
Because Conan goes off at the end of this month.
It's not funny!
Yeah, what are they going to do?
It's pretty freaking
unfunny! They're just going to rerun Conan?
Jay leaves in May, and then Conan comes on, and no, I think Fallon comes on soon. So Jimmy's going to hit the airwaves first at 12:30. So it's going to be Jay and Jimmy, and then Conan will come on 11:30. Then you're going to have Conan and Jimmy, and then in the fall you're going to have Jay, Conan, and Jimmy.
Conan's off for a couple months, right?
Yeah, he's off until like the spring.
He's off for like 3 months.
Yeah, he's off for like, and then Leno's going
to
be off for.
Do they really need the 3 months to retool?
I don't know. I guess so.
Is it? I mean,
but they can't kick Leno off. I guess they have to let Leno run till May for whatever reason. It's the season.
I'm like, couldn't Conan go till?
Conan starts, I guess, in the summer.
I could see him having a month where he needed to retool, but do they need 3 months?
That's NBC's thing. Why not just keep Conan? Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, you know, I know they got to move and all that shit, but come on.
It was a funny commercial. I think it was for Bud Light. No, it was for, what was it? The guys were getting hit, and they were like, oh, it was Pepsi Max.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I'm good. You remember that one? Like, they showed guys injuring themselves in stupid ways, but they were like all tough guys, and they were drinking Pepsi Max. It was funny. Like, there was guys working in like a wood shop. And a big board flew out of a machine and hit a guy in the nuts. He's like, I'm all right.
And then a guy had hit in the nuts with a snow globe
on
the
Doritos
commercial.
But that was a good commercial.
There
I
was
thought.
Not. There were no horses farting.
No.
Or guys getting peed on.
No. And the Clydesdales, boy, did those suck.
The Clydesdale
every Clydesdale one sucked. When he retrieved the big stick, that sucked. When he was in love with the horse at the circus, that sucked. The other was another one where it was.
It was his grand, his great great grandfather came from Scotland.
Man, fuck those guys, the fucking horse.
Here's my big problem with this. A horse. How long does a horse live?
I don't know. 20 years. Yeah, so that's what I.
So that would have been his great 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 grandfather.
Who knows? Ooh, dumb horse. Shitting all over.
Get I like the one. Horses. You know what? I like the one where they were playing football and there was a zebra last year. Was
oh,
the
okay.
referee?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that was okay, but the there's only
no. So, these ones this year were bad.
Only so much you can do with a horse.
Yeah, these were bad horse commercials. So thumbs down.
You know what
them.
Was bad? MacGruber. That was bad.
Yeah, that was an SNL sketch that they yeah. just sort of made a.
It's not funny as an
of.
SNL sketch.
And when it's 1 a.m. and you're stoned, it works better than Super Bowl. But anyway. And what else was on there? Anything? GoDaddy had some retarded fucking stupid commercials where it's like. Yeah. We're going to show you this girl naked, but the Super Bowl won't let us.
Do you remember it was like 2000?
Danica Patrick is going to take a giant cock, but we can't show it to you now. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Bunch of assholes.
Oh.
Sleazy motherfuckers.
Do you remember it was like 2000 and they had like all .com commercials?
Yes, there was a year when it was a lot of .com commercials.
And then the next year there was like two.
Yeah, but that, you know.
They all... Pets.com.
People just realized that that was a waste of money.
Fartinabucket.com.
Well, yeah, that was there was the stock market and all those companies that went and listed themselves.
Yeah.
On the stock market made shitloads of cash just from, you know, IPOs, and they wasted it on Super Bowl commercials.
I know. And
they wasted it on a bunch of other dumb
but
shit.
But some of those things were like there wasn't even a way to make money. They were just a website.
But they, no, they made, the IPO made the money.
Right, I know.
And then they spent the money.
But there was no real way to make capital.
Right. Well, you know, they figured that out. People were more interested in getting the name out there and figuring out how to make money with it later.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there are companies that did that. I mean, Amazon, Amazon didn't make money for a long time. And they had a profitable fourth quarter, which almost no retailer did. Yeah. They were one of the only retailers in America that had a profitable
I still don't know how Google and Yahoo are really
Google and
money.
Yahoo advertising.
I know, but
and they say advertising is going in the toilet, and now Google is expanding to Google is now making a browser, and they have that phone application.
Do you remember there was i1.com?
Yeah, where you would get money for searching instead of using Google. It would, they would draw a name out of a hat.
That went there. I guess we're running out of time to talk
about it.
But if you get Rolling Stone this week.
With Springsteen on a cover.
There's a story about Artie Lang.
Yes.
I adore. I love Artie. Yeah. But God, is he messed up.
All right. Well, we can read that. We really do got to go.
Oh,
and he's on heroin and he's fat. And sounds like he could die soon.
He's
so.
Just on the verge of dying.
Steve Brewer will be rooting for him in the death pool. Anyway.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you for listening. Show 207 is over.
You know that song. Here's the real goodbye music.
Hope this oh, okay. Take care of me when I die. Artie could be singing this song.
That's so true.
Artie would probably hang himself if he heard this song. Send him a copy. All right, we can leave on this. I don't give a shit. Sorry, Malcolmus.
This Artie is some real goodbye nice music.
Goodbye, everybody.
Good night, sweet prince. Tired. Artie.
There's a